This week, we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 6, and we're going to look at something else that I believe that every single person at one point in their life, they're going to deal with. And we'll see that here in chapter number 6. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, 'Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono.' But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, 'I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Will I leave it and come down to you?'" And so we find here that once Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, we find their names are mentioned once again. It doesn't it seem like every couple chapters, these names just keep popping up? Isn't that how the enemy is? It continues to just pop up. When you think things are going well, when you think like you've got things where you need them, it seems like there goes the enemy again. It pops up and begins to taunt, like in Nehemiah chapter 6, taunt Nehemiah. And when it comes to the place where Nehemiah has built the walls, the Bible says that these men come, and verse number 2, they come in and say, "Let us come meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me mischief. And what he was saying is simply this. They wanted to come meet with me to get me down from the wall, to meet me in a place so they could do harm to me. They were trying to entice him to come, and they were going to do physical harm to him. Their goal was to hurt Nehemiah. And we find in verse number 3 Nehemiah's response, and he sent messengers unto them, and he says, "I'm doing a great work, I can't come down, and why should I cease, and why should I stop doing what I'm doing, because I'm doing a great work, I'm not going to stop doing it to come meet you. Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them," in verse 4, "after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in the like manner, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, 'It is reposted among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. Thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together.'" And once again, we find that on the 5th time, Sanballat, he couldn't get him privately to come meet with them. And so now publicly, Sanballat now begins to make accusation against Nehemiah. He says about Nehemiah this, you've come here and you're trying to become the king. And so now these accusations. Now, we've read up through chapter number 6, and there's not one point through this reading that we would find where Nehemiah is seeking to become the king. And so these accusations that are public about Nehemiah, they're not even accurate. And so Nehemiah responds, and then I sent unto him, saying, "There are no such things done as thou sayest," in verse number 8, "but thou feignest them out of thine own heart." Look at verse number 9. "For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it should be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Tonight, I want to talk to you about fear. About fear. How many of you remember when your children would run into your bed in the middle of the night because they were afraid? Anyone remember those days? Anybody still living in those days? We are. Jacob does it at least once a month. It's horrible. No, our youngest, it doesn't matter if it rains, she's afraid. If it is nice out, she's afraid. Many a time she'll come in the middle of the night and just stand there and look at you until you just wake up because you feel like someone's looking at you, and there they are standing there. And after our heart stops pounding because we're awoken to that, we'll say, what's wrong? I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I don't run out of my room and run into another room when I'm afraid in the middle of the night. But the reality is this, there's been times that I've been awake in the middle of the night and there's fear and I'm not sure why. Anyone ever happened to that happened to you? You get anxious and not quite sure why. The reality is this. For us, conflict is something that's going to happen to every single human being. Dealing with fear is also something that's going to happen. You see, we looked at the first several chapters of Nehemiah, and there's a lot of things that we could see just studying through and trying to make application. But I find right here in the middle of Nehemiah chapter 5 and chapter number 6, there's some very practical things that Nehemiah is dealing with. Tonight, we're going to look in chapter number 6, and we're going to look at this fear. Look with me in verse number 9, the Bible says this, "For they made us afraid." Circle that, afraid. In verse number 13, we continue, "Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid." So the purpose of Sanballat is to put fear into the heart of Nehemiah. The purpose of the enemy would be to put fear in your heart. Fear. I want you to see with me in verse number 14, if you would. "Continue, my God, think that thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to those their works, and on the prophetess Nodiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear." Fear. Look with me in verse number 19. "Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttereth my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear." Fear. In chapter number 6, the entire chapter here, from the beginning to the end, verse number 19, we find here the purpose of the enemy here was to instill fear in the heart of Nehemiah. Because they knew this, if they could get Nehemiah to begin to fear, they could get him to stop the work. Fear. I want to look at fear, dealing with fear. The enemy has come again, and when they heard the wall was built and the security of it was good, they began to put Nehemiah in fear. Fear. Has anyone ever, you don't need to raise your hand, but I just want you to answer this question in your heart. Have you ever been in fear? Fear controls your mind, doesn't it? I mean, when you get to the place where you're fearful, it can cause you to stumble, and it can cause you to doubt. You know, our world is a fearful place. Boy, I came home this evening and we've been in vacation Bible school mode, and every day one of the questions I ask is, did we lose any children? You know, that's an important one. I don't want to lose any children. Did any children get hurt? So I come home, and after going to the funeral, and I come home and I sit down, and my wife says, did you hear about the two-year-old? And I thought to myself, I didn't think we let two-year-olds in vacation Bible school. But no, I said, I didn't hear about the two-year-old. And she said, he got eaten by an alligator. And I said, I didn't even know we had alligators at vacation Bible school. And I mean, my heart just sunk. I said, babe, we had a two-year-old get eaten by an alligator today at vacation Bible school, and no one told me. And she said, I'm talking about the one in Orlando. I said, oh. And she began to tell me the story about the dad who tried to go in and save his two-year-old. And then I'm thinking about the other events that have transpired in Orlando this weekend. And you know, the reality is our world is a fearful place. I tell you, my kids, I don't want to let my kids out of my sight. Such a fearful place. And it can cause fear in your heart. There's some that'll have a fear of, is my job going to be there? Is my job, is the company going to be there? Are we going to, am I still going to have a job? There's some that'll have fear in life. Are my children going to turn out? That's one I think of often. I have the five children I have. I want every one of them to turn out right. I want every one of them to serve the Lord. In the reality, as parents, you could begin to think fearfully, are my children going to turn out? You know, fear. Have you ever been afraid and you don't even know why you're afraid? Anyone like that? You're nervous about something, fearful. Maybe you're fearful about what tomorrow is going to bring. The unknown can cause us fear. And fear is a real thing. Some say this, well, if you're fearful, you're just not trusting God. For me, I think sometimes I'm fearful because I'm human. And it reminds me that I need to trust God. But the reality is this, just like conflict, everyone is going to deal with fear. Fear. I told the church this past Sunday evening, it's a fearful thing. I just recently, two families are moving to Monclova and going to be on staff at our church. That's a fearful thing. Decisions that have to be made, that's a fearful thing. Things that you're dealing with right now in your life, at work or at home, and in your marriage, and in just the things that you're dealing with in your own world, it makes for a fearful time at times. Fear. You know, fear comes. In verse number 9, we find this: for they all made us afraid. We find the first time that word fear, afraid, is said there. Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. And Nehemiah is talking about fear, and he is showing us where fear comes. He tells us this, that fear can come from what others say. Others, what they're saying can cause you fear. What people are saying about society can cause you fear. What people are saying about church can cause you fear. What people are saying at your workplace can cause you fear. Fear, you can be fearful by listening to what people are saying. It comes from that. Here we find Nehemiah. He is at a place where those around him, the enemy, is beginning to say things that would cause him to be afraid. In verse number 13, we find again, therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have matter for evil report, that they might reproach me. We find here that they're wanting him to do something sinful, to cause him through fear to do something wrong, so they in turn can use what he did against him. And so we find that fear can come from what others say. You know what, people, fear can come from those that are jealous of what God is doing in your life. You know, I wish it was true that every single Christian behaved like a Christian, but you know what the reality is? They don't. I had a conversation this afternoon with a fella probably about an hour or so, and he was telling me about some events that happened in his life and people that had caused him hurt and people that shouldn't have hurt him, shouldn't have put fear in his heart and in his life, and it caught him off track for a period of time. And you know what the reality is? Sometimes people that are jealous of what God is doing in your life, they can try to put fear in your life. Here they were upset and jealous and didn't like what God was doing in the life of Nehemiah, so they set out to put fear in the life of Nehemiah. You see, each time we see fear or afraid here, we see that it comes from those that seek to hinder the work of God. The enemy will always seek to hinder the work of God. If he can't do it through conflict, then he'll do it through fear. If he could get you to the place where you're afraid and you're fearful and you're cautious and you're going to stumble and you begin to doubt, then he's got you in a place where the work of God's not being done. You know, there's some that should be serving in specific areas, maybe singing, or maybe some that should be teaching, or some that should be involved in the work of the Lord, but because of fear, some doubt that's in your mind, you're not serving, and that fear is keeping you from serving the Lord, so the work of the Lord's not getting done because of fear that's in your heart and in your life. Fears come. In verse number 6 and verse number 7, we found this, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen and in Gashmu, saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which thou hast buildest a wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And goes on to say in verse number 7 again, you've appointed prophets to preach, and you want to become king. You know, I find here as well, fear comes many a times from misinformation. Have you ever gotten wrong information and it caused you to become fearful? Have you ever lost sleep at night because of something you heard only to find out in the morning what you heard wasn't true? Has it ever happened? You think that things are worse than what they really are? Oh, I wish I could say that it's not true, but there's been times where I have lost sleep at night thinking the worst because of something I heard or misinformation I heard, only to find out the next morning after I lost a night of sleep that the information was wrong. In the fear that I had, it wasn't needed, but guess what? Because of information, misinformation, you can have fear. Do you ever make a mistake in your checkbook? And think there's less in there because of misinformation, something was done wrong, and now you begin to panic? Do you get wrong information, somebody tell you something that maybe it wasn't as true or as bad as maybe the information you got, and that misinformation caused you to panic? You see, sometimes fear comes, and so we see here where fear comes from. We see it comes from what others may say. It may come from someone that's jealous of what God is doing in your life. It may come many times from misinformation. You know what I find as well? Sometimes fear comes when you're weary and tired. How many of you have ever been weary or tired in life? Would you raise your hand? I just want you to raise your hand so everyone else sees they're not the only one. The reality is this, sometimes we get in life and we become fearful and we get tired and we get weary and we at times think we're the only ones. And we look at somebody else and we think this, boy, I wish I could have my life together like that person, or I wish I could have it all together like that mom or that dad. I wish all the answers would come to me, you know, like another family, only to realize this, that everybody at times goes through weariness and goes through periods of being tired. I want you to remember that in chapter number 5, Nehemiah just comes out of a very tiresome, wearisome event. Here Nehemiah, since he's been there, he's been building and restoring and he's been battling the enemy and he's been battling the brethren, and he just comes out of chapter number 5 and he's tired and he's weary and the work is almost completed. Do you ever get to a place where you're doing something and it's almost done and you just feel like you're so tired, you're not quite sure you can get there? My family, my wife and I just purchased a home. And so over the last couple of weeks, we've been painting and doing some things. And you know, when you first go in there, it's, yes, we're excited. This isn't too bad. And then this week, I called in reinforcements. I said, Brother Stapleton, I need you to save my marriage. He said, what do you need from me? I said, I need your paintbrush. Man, he went over and he painted and did so much more than I even asked him to do. And I told him, I said, I was getting to the place, I was getting tired. And he says, I know it, I can tell by your paint job. I said, no, the reality is my paint job's that bad all the time. But the reality is this, we come to a place where if we look and the job you're getting, and that's where Nehemiah was at, boy, it looks so much like the work, I'm there and God's called me there and he's called me to this marriage and called me to this job and called me to this church and called me to the things in your life that he has put in your life, but you get into the work and if you're not careful, you can get very tired and very weary. And when that comes, you can look at a situation and become very fearful. You see, when he was first presented with this task, he saw the work, he saw the magnitude of the work, but he said this, God's called me to this task, of course I can get this done. Now he's at a place, because he's weary and he's tired, that he looks at the task and looks at the circumstances in fear now is controlling him and coming into his heart, because he looks at what's happening out of a weariness and out of being tired. Chapter 5 is a very tiring situation for him. You see, in verse number 5, Nehemiah, fear was continual. Then Sanballat, in verse 5, then Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner, the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. You know, he dealt with it the first time. Fear, I get a letter sent to you. Maybe that's what happens. It comes to you and you say, boy, I conquered this and I'm done with fear. Only to come that fear, that same situation comes at you a second time. And comes at you a third time and a fourth time. And for Nehemiah, fear, this same situation, 5 times he gets this letter to put him in fear. It wouldn't stop. Did you ever get to the place in your life where it just seems like that fear just keeps coming? It won't stop. You think you get victory and it just comes at you. In verse number 19 of the same chapter, and they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. For Nehemiah, the fear just keeps coming. It's continual and it's persistent. It came back on every side. When he thinks he's through it, when he thinks he's past it, now all of a sudden, the end of the chapter, another letter gets sent. Fear. The reality is this, we're all going to deal with fear. For Nehemiah, we see that it was continual, we see that it was persistent, but how do we handle it? Just like conflict, we know that it's there, but how do we handle it when it comes? So if there's fear in your life and things that you're dealing with that cause you great fear, then we know it's there. We see in Nehemiah where it comes from, but how do we handle fear? I want you to see in verse number 3, if you would please, and I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Whilst I leave it and come down to you? You know what I find here? Nehemiah is showing us to handle fear. Number one is this, don't give fear your time. You know what he said to fear? I'm not going to let you control me. I'm not going to think about you. I'm not going to confront you. I'm not going to deal with you. He said to Sambalat, I'm not going to come down and stop doing the work of the Lord because you want to instill fear in my life. You know, when fear comes, we've got to learn like Nehemiah did. I'm not going to give it time. I'm not going to let it control me. I'm not going to let it consume my thoughts. I'm not going to give fear my time. I see in verse number 9, for they all made us afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hand. I see this here. He says how to handle fear. Number one, I don't give fear my time. And number two, I find strength in God. You know, that sounds so simple, but that's what Nehemiah showed us. Nehemiah didn't find strength in losing sleep. Nehemiah didn't find strength in going and getting reinforcements. Nehemiah didn't find strength in dealing with fear in himself. Nehemiah didn't find strength and find help from dealing with fear in his own power. What he said was this, I was fearful. They were trying to bring fear to me. It was continual. It was persistent. And I realized this, that I cannot overcome fear in my life unless I find strength from God's hand. That's how we find victory in fear. You know, any situation that comes my way, God is strong enough to handle it. Boy, I wish I'd get that though before I try to handle it myself. Before I try to deal with difficulties in life my own way, instead of dealing with fears my own way, instead of looking and saying, oh Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen. Let me try to figure out all these ways first to try to solve this. No, when fear comes, we need immediately say, Lord, I can't deal with this fear. I don't have answers, but I know this. I can have strength by your hand. There's not a problem in your life that God does not have a solution for. There's not a difficulty you're going through right now. There's not a financial difficulty. There's not an issue in your home. There's not an issue in your church. There's not an issue in your job. There's not an issue in a friendship that you have. There's not an issue in your marriage. There's not an issue in raising your children that God does not have the strength to help you through. There is no situation in your life right now that is stronger than the hand of God. Now remember that. You see, what I'm dealing with, it's fearful, it's big. I'm not minimizing the level of fear. I'm not minimizing the level of hurt. I'm not minimizing the biggest problem you might have. What I'm simply saying is this, that your God is bigger than any amount of fear in your life. Sambalat and Tobiah and now Gershom and all those that are trying to attack Nehemiah, the reality is this, they're stronger than Nehemiah. There's more of them than Nehemiah. They've got an army behind them that Nehemiah doesn't have. They've got false reports that they're going to use. They've got mischief they're going to use. They've got sinful actions they're going to use. But none of that is bigger than Nehemiah's God. And no matter what you're going through tonight, there's nothing that ought to cause you more fear in your life than to cause you to know that God is bigger and you can depend upon Him and that He can give you strength. You see, we need to find strength in God. In verse number 14, my God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works. And on the prophetess, Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. You know what he said? God, you deal with it so I don't have to. You know what I have learned? Letting God deal with your problems is always better than trying to deal with them yourself. Always better. Nehemiah is here and he's facing fear and he says, God, I need you to deal with this. I need you to deal with Sanballat and Tobiah. I need you to know what is going on, and I'm just going to trust you to think upon them. Now, David, the psalmist, has said things like, you know, put ashes upon their head and, you know, put a boulder over their head. Here Nehemiah just simply said this, God, I want you to think about them. And I could imagine this, Nehemiah saying, God, just think about them. If they're doing wrong and you think about them, you know what, God, you can deal with them better than I could ever deal with them. You can handle that situation better than I can ever handle it. And God, if you think upon them and they're doing right, then you know what? Then maybe I'm seeing some things wrong and you deal with them whatever way you want to deal with them. So God, if you've got to hurt them or if you've got to bless them, you deal with it. And that's the best way to deal with fear. Allow God to deal with your fear in your life. Don't try to deal with it in your own self. The reality is this, if you try to deal with fear, you're probably going to make the wrong mistake. We need to, as Nehemiah, how do we handle fear? We don't give fear our time. We find strength in God and we allow God to deal with our fear and not try to deal with it ourselves. See, every day of our lives, fears and fear can come to us, come at us. And we're not sure what to do. At times, you can become afraid of what you hear, what you see. At times, you can become afraid of what you come across, what comes across your mind. At times, you can be afraid of what you hear in society. You know what I've got to do? Stop and settle in my heart that God is in control. And God will handle it. I want you to think this evening, the biggest fear in life you have, think right now. Answer that to yourself. Right now, in your heart, what's the biggest fear you have? And maybe nobody even knows about it. Maybe you're here and you fear that your job is going to come to an end and you haven't told your spouse yet. Maybe there's something big in your life that you fear is coming and you're holding it in, but it's causing you fear. What's that thing right now that causes you to lose sleep? And maybe you're not even telling anybody about it. Maybe your spouse is sleeping a great night's sleep and there you lay awake and you're laying there just staring out into space and fearful. Maybe the situation with one of your children. Maybe there's a situation in your marriage. Maybe it's a health situation. How are you handling that fear tonight? Are you giving it your time? Are you finding strength in God? Are you allowing God to deal with that fear? That biggest fear that you have tonight, God has the strength to overcome it. Verse number 19, we also find this. They reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. You know, it was all what they were saying about Nehemiah. He put his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobias sent letters to put me in fear. You know what? Sometimes fear can cause you to feel like you're all alone. Very familiar psalm. I want you to read it to you here this evening. Here's a psalm that David, most could probably just quote it by memory. David wrote this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." How does he say that? Because he says this, "For thou art with me." See, David had it figured out. He said this, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He says, I'm walking through a lonely place. I'm walking through a valley of the shadow of death. I'm walking through a place that I don't want to be at. I feel like I'm alone. I feel like this is a dangerous, treacherous place to be. But he says this, "Thou art with me." How do I deal with fear? Knowing this, that God is there with you. He says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He says, "Thou preparest a table before me." Where? In the presence of mine enemies. You know what, Sanballat and Tobiah? God will prepare a place for Nehemiah right in your presence. "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, fear can make you feel alone. But the reality is God's there every step of the way. And then there's a result, and we're finished here this evening. There's a result of handling fear properly. There's a result. You see, just like conflict, fear is always going to come. You're always going to be dealing with fear. There's a proper way to handle fear. And then I see here in Nehemiah chapter 6, there is a result that comes from handling fear properly. Fear is going to come. How are you going to handle it? How you handle it is going to give you the results. The results of handling it properly, I want you to see here this, verse number 15. "So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month." You see something? He didn't quit. You see, when I deal with fear properly, I don't quit. When I deal with fears properly, it doesn't cause me to quit on God. And what I find here, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day." You know what Nehemiah did? He finished what God called him to. You know what we need to learn to do? Finish. Finish the marriage God's called you to. Finish the job that God's called you to. Finish in parenting a godly home, the one that God's called you to. Finish the call. You see, fear tries to get you to stop the work. By responding properly to fear, I don't quit. I finish. You know, there's days that I'm sure everyone would say the same. There's days it just seems like going and being far away from everybody and everything would be a great day. Anyone ever like that? I told you, my neighbors, they put two little chairs that are facing the backyard next to a tree. It is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I looked at it again today. And I thought to myself, if I would quit, I could sit in those chairs and just look at trees. In looking at trees sometimes sounds like a good thing. But I got 5 children that are watching. I can't afford to quit. I got a wife that I committed to. I can't afford to quit. I got a church that God's called me to pastor. I can't afford to quit. And neither can you. You see, God's work is too great for us to give into fear and quit. Nehemiah saw the result of handling fear properly. In what we find is this: Nehemiah didn't quit on the call that God had on his life. In verse number 16, and it came to pass that when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, and they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Let me read that again. All of our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. Why? For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. You know what I find the result of handling fear properly? The enemy is seen as less. What you once thought was so large, it seems so small. You know, I think that when David first saw Goliath standing there mocking God and mocking the armies of God, I bet you when David first went out there, he saw this massive giant. I'm sure there was a little bit of fear. But when David stood over that dead body, that giant, with his giant sword in his hand, and he cut the head off of that giant, I guarantee you this, that giant didn't seem so fearful. And see, when you first face that fear may seem so large, it may seem so intimidating, it may seem so huge. You say, boy, I don't know how I can get through this. By handling it correctly, by putting God and allowing Him to deal with it, by handling it the way we saw it, the result of that is this: the enemy is seen as less. And lastly, I find this same verse, verse number 16. For they perceived that this work was wrought of God. You know what that makes God? It makes God seen as greater. You know what my life is supposed to be spent doing? Making Him seem greater. Bringing glory and honor to my Heavenly Father. And the result of handling fear properly, it causes the work to get done. It causes the enemy to be seen as less, and it causes our God to be seen as greater. Could you think of anything better than that? See, God still promised to supply all of your needs. I close with this, John 14:27. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.